It is a pleasure to be with you tonight, to be able to worship together, and to be able to study the Word of God together. In our little time together tonight, we will look at an expression in the book of Revelation that is really quite dramatic, but suggests some ideas that hopefully will lift your spirits and develop your attitude in a positive way as far as your Christianity is concerned. We turn to the book of Revelation. The Revelation letter was written at a time when Christianity seemed to be fighting for its life, actually. Christians were enduring a period of severe persecution. Imperial Rome had a tolerant attitude toward the various religions within her borders, with two notable exceptions. And these were, of course, Christianity and Judaism. Christians were singled out for harsh treatment because they, like the Jews, and unlike other religious groups there, they believed in one God, and they refused to worship the emperor. They were therefore suspected by Rome of disloyalty and even treason, and they paid the price as victims of unrelenting persecution. The author of the book, of course, was the Apostle John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. The purpose of the writing, it was to encourage Christians. But fearing that his message might fall into the wrong hands, John wrote many times throughout the book in symbolic language. As John was going through some dramatic symbols that he puts in this book, and especially near the end of the book, he inserts one that is really one of his unusual ones, and this is in Revelation 19 and verse 17. He said, "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God." We focus tonight on the first part of that verse. He said, "I saw an angel standing in the sun." Now, as with other symbols in the book of Revelation, this statement sounds quite sensational, really. A heavenly being is standing in the blaze of the brightest heavenly body, the sun, and yet it isn't consumed. It's just there. It's an image. It is a picture. And some of the symbols that John uses can be understood. Other symbols are much disputed, or at least they're not understood at all. And that may be the case with an angel standing in the sun in Revelation 19. Now, our purpose tonight is not to discuss the original idea underlying this phrase. But tonight with you, I want to borrow an image and learn a lesson, and maybe even more than one lesson that will be helpful to us. You know, Jonathan referred to some of our basics as far as worship and so on, and these are so important for us. But there's another aspect of our development spiritually that is important that sometimes we forget to think about, and that is our attitude. Our attitude toward all things spiritual, toward Jesus, toward the church, toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. What about our attitude? This is an extremely important part of our Christianity. So tonight we want to focus on that. The image that John uses in Revelation 19 is quite clear. It's simple, it's clear, it's distinct. There is an angel standing in the middle of the sun. That's all there is to it. And we can get the picture immediately without any trouble, really. So we're borrowing that image, and we want to allow it to serve as a metaphor that depicts our attitude as a Christian. We need to have a positive attitude and not a negative one. I'll make the statement and be upfront about it. That's what we need to do. Are we always that way? I'm not. Sometimes I forget that I should have a positive attitude because of everything that's been done for me spiritually, everything God did, all of the arrangements that Jesus made, and all of the sacrifices he went through and the suffering he went through for us. And sometimes we forget about that and we get a little negative. We shouldn't do that, but sometimes we do. So tonight we want to focus on that. You know, when you look at this image, some people just see only the sun. I don't know what you see when we read this passage together, but some people would see only the sun. Other people would see only the angel. I don't think we can get the point unless we get the whole picture, and that is the angel standing in the sun. I believe it takes perfection, it takes perception for us to see both. But as we said, sometimes our tendency is to look only at the negative part. Sometimes we might look at the blazing sun and not even see the image. Then there would be others who would see the image and they couldn't even distinguish the sun. We need to be able to see all of it to get the picture the writer wants us to have. I read about a sermon and it was called Tonic for the Timid. And that sermon centered around a popular term, and it was yes, but. He talked about the contrast between the way that word was used in Scripture and the way many times we use those two words, yes, but. His text for that sermon came from the book of Acts, and it's Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. And he said, but the word of God grew and multiplied, and it did. Even under adverse conditions, you think about New Testament Christianity. Under adverse conditions, the word of God grew and multiplied. There was a new religion. There was opposition from the Jews, opposition from the Romans. There was severe persecution, even from near the beginning. And yet, Luke mentions this in Acts chapter 12. He uses this idea of yes, but in writing Acts. Now, he's talking about the persecution of the church. King Herod had gone on a rampage to stamp out the church by destroying its leaders. Peter and John had been put in prison. James, the brother of John, had been killed. The church was being hounded on every side and was being scattered everywhere. But Luke writes, he said, but the word of God grew and multiplied. We think we need perfection to grow. We don't need perfection. That's the worst thing we can have many times if we really want to grow for the Lord. We need some things to deal with so we can hone our skills and improve our faith as we ought to. He said, with all of these negative things, he said, but the word of God grew and multiplied. How does this stack up against the way we use that expression every day? I'd like for you to think about that. You know, there might be a couple of people, or maybe in a small group of people, and they would be talking, and someone would say, and you've been there, done this, they would say, beautiful day today. And there can always be someone standing by who will say, yes, but we sure need rain. You know, there might be another group of people who were standing around and having a nice discussion, and someone might think of a person who was not there, and he'd say, you know, he is really a great person. He's a fine Christian. He does good works. He's just wonderful. But sometimes there's somebody on the sideline who says, yes, but have you heard? And there it goes. We use the expression yes, but in quite a different way from what it was used in Scripture. You know, Paul was a positive person. He wrote many, many positive things for us to learn by and to grow by. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read verse 8. Paul in this chapter is talking about some about himself and the problems and difficulties that he has undergone. He said in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now I want to paraphrase verses 8 and 9, maybe you might say for my own amusement, but I hope it helps us to get the picture. We're handicapped on every side, but we're never frustrated. We're puzzled, but never in despair. We are persecuted, but we never have to stand it alone. We may be knocked down, but we're never knocked out. The point is that out of the same set of circumstances, we can get either despair or hope. And Jesus wants us to choose hope and be positive about His cause and about our relationship with Him and our relationship with God. We choose hope because hope is really the way to the heart of God. It's the Bible way. God is with us. Why would we not be hopeful? Jesus helps us. He died for us. He sacrificed Himself for us. Why would we not be hopeful? Even in death, the Holy Spirit encourages, sorrow not as those who have no what? Hope. We have hope because of Jesus and God, and never let us grow weary in thinking that thought. This scripture comes from 1 Thessalonians 4:13. The writer of Hebrews writes, then man was made a little lower than the angels. Genesis tells us God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Now, if that's the case, and we know it is, then we can't be all bad. And we can't look upon each other in a pessimistic, negative way and think bad thoughts always about others. We must know that. Paul was a positive person. Paul taught us how to think if we accept his teaching in his epistles. Paul describes the kind of attitude we're to have, and that's what we're getting out of this image tonight. Attitude. How do we look at life? How do we look at things? In Philippians 4 and 8, Paul said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now that's what I'm talking about. That's positive. That's optimistic about our spiritual condition and the spiritual condition of our brothers and sisters, everyone around us. When we can think, as Paul tries to teach us how to think here. Now, we are realistic, and the Bible teaches us to be. Yes, we recognize that there are those who stumble along the way. We can't be blind to sins around us. We can't be blind to shortcomings in ourselves. We can't be blind to that if we're realistic. But we also can't be blind to it in the lives of others. But when we see those conditions occur for ourselves or others, what's the step to take? It's to assist in coming out of that, to assist in obeying the Scriptures, to assist in repentance and in coming back to the Lord. We help each other by constructive criticism and even rebuke. Jesus, again, was positive. You know, no one ever has seen so clearly the sins in men. Yet no one has ever had any more faith in people than Jesus had. Jesus was not blind to sins and shortcomings in his followers. He was honest with them. He was frank with them. He called one of his closest disciples Satan. Now just think about it. He told the Pharisees, you're a generation of vipers. He confronted the woman of Samaria with her sinful condition. He told a rich man who saw nothing in life but getting richer that he was a fool. He said, but he saw more than just those kinds of things in people. He placed their virtues above their faults, and he saw in many sinful people potential for real service. Who is the one who comes to your mind when I make a statement like that? It, of course, is the Apostle Peter. Peter denied him three times, but Jesus knew better. He knew Peter was weak. He knew he was impetuous. He wasn't always stable. And he knew that Peter would deny him. But what did he do? He called him a rock. And he gave him the keys to the kingdom. What an example for us in how we are to be in our relationship with one another. Jesus certainly saw an angel in the sun, just as Paul and Peter did. We need to deal positively with our Christian lives. You and I do. We need to deal positively with our Christianity. You know, I emphasize this sometime in my speaking. I want people to love being a Christian. And sometimes we don't do that. We don't have the right attitude toward what we have in this opportunity to be a child of God. And we need to feel extremely positive about that. There was a poet who said, two men looked out of prison bars. The one saw mud and the other stars. We can mold our thinking based on the Word of God. We can do that, and we can be the kind of thinker that Jesus wants us to be and that He expects us to be. And you know, when this happens, then we're going to do more good in the world than we ever could before, because people see the positive attitude that we have about Jesus and about the Word, and they want to know more about what we are and what we believe. We can be a great instrument for good, for the cause of Christ, when we develop this attitude. You know, the one saw mud, the other stars, same facts. Different attitude is what it was. John Milton was a great British poet. Wrote some of the classics. And he lost his sight. And after he lost his sight, he wrote a friend of his and he said, I do not even complain of my want of sight. In the night with which I am surrounded, the light of divine presence shines with a brilliant luster. I am the shadow. I am under the shadow of divine wings which have enveloped me with this darkness. John Milton saw an angel standing in the sun, just as Jesus saw an angel standing in the sun. If I may make one more reference, I want to do that in the book of Hebrews with you, Hebrews chapter 12. There is a wonderful passage here that teaches us about this very thing, about attitude. Listen, Hebrews 12 and 1. The writer said, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The writer of Hebrews saw an angel in the sun. Thank you.